Today's reading from 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Well, do keep that passage open in front of you. We're going to be looking at that this morning. In our house at the moment, the lights aren't great at all. In almost every room, we have three tiny spotlights that don't shine any light really into a room at all. And what's even worse is that it's a constant treadmill of replacing the ones that have gone out. In our bedroom, for example, this week, we went down to one light at one point. That's my fault. But it was awful. But it does have its uses. Seeing just the right light, our house can actually look quite tidy. And in the right dim light in the bathroom, I can actually look quite good. But in our passage this morning, John wants us to be people who live in the light. Having called us to stick with the apostles' message about Jesus, because they hold out to us fellowship with the Father, John now holds out what that message is to us. Look with me down to chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. Here it is, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. Now, what does that mean? We all know the relationship between light and darkness, don't we? We see it every day. You turn a light on, and what happens? Well, immediately the darkness is gone, isn't it? But what does it mean to say that God is light? Well, in the Bible, the imagery of light is used in a number of ways. It can often be used to speak of revelation. That is, that light reveals things to us. That imagery is used of Jesus. Jesus reveals to us what God is light is like. But I don't think that's what John has in mind here. I think the clue to is the darkness language that we have in this passage. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. John uses this same language in his gospel. It's going to come up on the screen here, John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. And it says, this is the verdict, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Here we see that the language of darkness has to do with evil deeds, that of sin and corruption. And so to say that God is light, well, it's the opposite of that. It's to speak of God as perfect in his holiness and purity, one who is completely righteous. He is perfect in all of his ways. There is no evil in him, no darkness at all, no sin present. And as such, darkness and sin cannot be in his presence. God cannot tolerate sin or evil. Just as when a light is turned on, darkness must flee, So evil and sin cannot be in the presence of a holy God. He has no capacity to entertain sin whatsoever. Light and darkness are completely incompatible. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. But there's another element in view here. In John 3 that we just looked at there, you'll see that it talks about how those who are evil don't come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And light does that, doesn't it? Light exposes things. It shows up things and reveals the secrets. See, our house might look good in dim light, but the problem is the sun. When the sun shines in, it exposes the reality. You can see the lurking dust and the grubby finger marks and the crumbs that no amount of hoovering seemed to get rid of. And sadly, the sun shows me what I look like as well. Light exposes what's really there. But the fact that light exposes things, it does have its uses. If I just get ready in dim light in the morning, then it's easy for me not to spot the toothpaste on my trousers or the snotty nose mark on my shoulder. But actually, if I let the sun in, then I can see what I'm really like and not go out and make a fool of myself leaving the house looking like that. Well, if sun exposes what's truly there, then how much more does God, who is light, expose the reality of what we are like? Held up against the light of his holiness, his perfect, spotless righteousness, his purity. As we've been going through Mark recently, we've seen Jesus in all his perfection, haven't we? In his love and his care and his compassion, his truthfulness and his justice, and held against the God who is light, we see the truth about ourselves. In all our sin-stained mess, we see what we're truly like. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. John says, that's the glorious gospel that we have heard from him, Jesus, that we saw for ourselves, and we proclaim it to you. And in the rest of today's passage, we're going to see John pulling out the implications of this and how it really is good news as he holds up to us the better option in Jesus up and against the message of those who've left. And firstly, we see three things that we cannot say. This seems to be John gently, indirectly dealing with some of the things that those who've left have been saying. I don't know if you noticed the repetition as we read through the passage. Three times John says, if we claim. So verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we die. We lie and do not live out the truth. Verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. That is, if you hear people saying these things, well, these are things we cannot say. And as we go through this letter, we'll see that John often builds up his arguments in threes. And the first of the three often acts as the headline point, which is unpacked in the following two. So the headline here is, if God is light and in him there is no darkness at all, then we cannot claim to have fellowship with him while walking in darkness. Imagine if Jenny and I took the children to the beach. It's a glorious sunny day, but I want to sit out in the sun and improve my tan. But Jenny wants to sit in the shade so she won't get burnt. If we both do that, then we can't sit together, can we? If you're in the shade, then you cannot be in the light. And so if God is light and in him there is no darkness at all, that is, God cannot bear sin, he cannot be in his presence, then we cannot walk in darkness and sin while claiming to have fellowship with him. To walk in darkness is to be out of fellowship with God. The two cannot coexist. And to claim otherwise is to lie, John says. Now, what does it mean to walk in darkness here? Well, John unpacks that for us in the next two statements that we cannot say. And it's all to do with denying sin. So secondly, verse 8, we cannot say we have no sin. Now, how can anyone say that? Well, in order to do that, we need to play down what sin is, wouldn't we? We see it all the time in our current climate. Sin is reduced and reduced and reduced until all that we're left with is the really socially unacceptable things. That's what sin is. So we can say, I haven't sinned. I haven't murdered anyone. I've not stolen anything that would be missed. I've tried to be kind and generous. I'm one of the good guys. I'm not a sinner. Compared to other people, I'm fine. I'm above average for sure. Well, the story is told of a man who worked in a factory. His job was to be the timekeeper, so he had to ring the factory bell every day at 4 p.m. The problem was that his watch wasn't very reliable at all, so each morning he walked past a clockmaker's shop on the way to the factory, and every morning he would adjust his watch to tell the right time using the big clock in the window of the shop. One day as he was doing this, the clockmaker came out and said, I've noticed that each day you stop and adjust your watch. Can I ask why? The man replied, well, it's my job to ring the bell in the factory every day at 4 p.m. So each morning I set my watch by your clock so that I have the correct time. The clockmaker replied, I'm really sorry, but the clock in my shop window isn't very reliable. So every afternoon, I adjust it using the bell from the factory at 4 p.m. each day. See, if our standard for what is right, for what is moral goodness, is one another, then we're just like the factory worker and the clockmaker, aren't we? As long as I match up to how you're getting on, then I'm fine. As long as I can make it seem like I'm doing as well as you, or as long as I project to be doing as well as you project to be doing, then we're all fine. We've both got it right. But if God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, then to measure ourselves correctly is to measure ourselves against the God who is light, who is perfect in all of his ways, against the truth of what he is like. And when we do that, then we cannot say that we have no sin. To do so is to deceive ourselves, isn't it? It's to be blind to the reality of what we're truly like, happy to look in a dimly lit room and not see the truth in the light of day as God's light shines into our lives. But not only that, verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. See, when we don't accept the reality of our sin as God shines a light on us, exposing what we're really like, we don't only lie to ourselves, we also make out that God is a liar. See, in order to claim to have fellowship with God while walking in darkness, in order to say we have no sin, we have to not only change what's true about ourselves, but what's true about God. No, God, you don't really hate sin like you claim to. A little bit of sin doesn't really matter to you, God. I'm not really as sinful as you say that I am. I'm okay, really. Jesus wasn't really that perfectly holy that he can't tolerate a bit of sin. Now, I would imagine that none of us would be as bold as to say that Jesus isn't perfect in his holiness, that God has got it wrong in his judgment of what we're really like. But I think for most of us, God, as those who've left may well have presented him, is very appealing on the surface. It would be a lot safer in God's presence if he wasn't so bothered by sin, if it wasn't so offensive to him, if he wasn't so perfect in his holiness. And so we can often live our lives as if that's the case. I often find myself thinking, if you knew what I was really like, then you wouldn't want anything to do with me, let alone listen to anything that I say. So what do I do with my sin? Well, I often find myself hiding it. If I'm in danger of being exposed, I run and hide. I can play down my sin. I've become very good at giving off a good impression when I'm around you all, to look like I have it all sorted and to sound as if I'm thought through, making sure that I'm on my best behavior in public, and I can tell myself, well, I'm pretty good. I've got to be above average, because the alternative can feel so scary, can't it? How can I face up to my sin held in the light of God's purity and holiness? And that's where the counsel of those who've left would be so appealing, wouldn't it? You go to them and say, I've sinned. And they say, don't worry, it's not that bad. And you say, no, but I've really sinned in a bad way, it's serious. And they respond, God doesn't mind. He loves you, don't worry. And you say, no, but this is so bad, he can't possibly look the other way. And they say, it's fine. Don't worry, God will forgive you. It doesn't matter, you're a good guy. It's all good. See, this is the message that those who left proclaimed. We're not that bad. God's not that bothered. It will be fine. And it's the same message that has made its way into so many of the churches around our nation. But John says, no. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So what is the alternative? What is the good news message about Jesus that John proclaimed? What's the better option? Well, John says, if God is light and in him there is no darkness at all, then there are three things we must do. So firstly, we must walk in the light. Do you see that? Verse 7. Verse 7 says, walk in the light as he is in the light. John says the answer to the fact that God is light is not to hide in the darkness, to hide the mess that we're in. No, it's to walk in the light. That is to bring the reality of what we are like into the light of God's purity and holiness and goodness. To get rid of the dim lights that hide the mess and replace them with lighting that shows the reality as it truly is. John says, see yourself as you truly are. As God tells you and shows you in the truth of his word, in all of its mess and dirt and imperfections, don't hide in the darkness. Bring it into the light. When we do that, we start to see, don't we, our sin as it truly is, in all of its ugliness and shame. But what do we do with that sin that we find? Well, the call is don't deny it and don't deceive yourselves. But verse 9, look with me to verse 9. It says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin. In the face of a holy God, in whom there is no sin at all, no darkness, the call is bring your sin before that God who is light. Confess it. Admit before God that we have sinned against him, that held against the light of his goodness, we are riddled with sin as those who have rejected and rebelled against him. It sounds like suicide, doesn't it? We might want to say, are you crazy, John? Don't you know that light and darkness don't mix? Well, John says, if we do that, confessing our sin, God will forgive us our sin. So we bring our sin before the God who can't tolerate sin, and he says, it's fine, don't worry. Surely God is doing here what John says he cannot do. Surely he's acting as if sin doesn't really matter. He's saying, don't worry about it. I'm not that bothered. I'll forgive it. No sweat. Well, no. God is light in him. There is no darkness at all. But right here is the heart of the glorious gospel that John proclaims to them and us. There is a way for sinful people like us to come before a holy God in whom there is no darkness at all, without redefining sin so that we're not bad, without pretending that we're fine and putting on a front, and without saying that God is not that bothered by sin. And John holds it out to us three times. Look again at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. At verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. At 2, verse 1, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. John says, here is the way for sinful people to have fellowship with the God who is light. It's in Jesus. It's through his blood that we can be purified. By his atoning sacrifice for sin, that we can stand before the Father. God has made a way of dealing with sin by looking straight at it and coming in the person of Jesus to rescue us. That Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the one in whom there is no sin, who is obedient to the Father, who is light, is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. The word there is literally propitiation. It sounds geeky, but the picture is of a substitute offered in our place. Our sin, that of rejecting God, cannot be overlooked because God is light. What our sin deserves is death for our rebellion against God, treason against the King of the universe. And yet, in Jesus, God himself has offered a substitute in our place. One who would take the punishment that our sin deserves, as he took it upon himself at the cross, bearing God's wrath in our place, God's right anger at our sin. The God who is angry with us is also the God who takes our place, paying the price our sin deserves, death for us, so that we don't have to. That we might be forgiven, that we might be purified from all unrighteousness, that we might know fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, without God compromising his moral integrity. That he might be faithful to his promise to forgive sin, and yet just in punishing sin. Up against the message of those who've left, we are to step into the counseling room of the Lord Jesus. As you walk in and you're hit by the brightest light you've ever seen. And instantly you're painfully aware of just how filthy with sin you are. And you come before Jesus and you say, I have done terrible things. He doesn't say it's okay. He says, yes, you have done terrible things. You say, no, but really, really terrible things. The type of things you can't just ignore. And Jesus says, yes, you've done really, really terrible things. The type of things I can't ignore because I am light and there is no darkness in me. And so you say, well, what can I do if I want to have fellowship with you, to know you? And Jesus says, there's nothing you can do. Your sin is truly terrible, but there is something I can do for you. What if I cleanse you? What if I purify you? What if I die for you and receive in myself the punishment you deserve so that you can be forgiven? So that you can come into the light without hiding your sin or making out that it doesn't matter, but as one who has been washed clean through my blood. How about that? When we bring our sin into the light and take it to Jesus, confessing it and accepting the forgiveness he holds out through his death, well, then we can come before the Father confident of our right standing before him in Jesus, not putting on a show. Then we can have deep relationships with one another, where we don't have to hide our sin and put on a facade, but we can admit our weakness and failures and flaws, confessing that our only hope for relationship with the Father and with each other is in Jesus, and glorying in what a wonderful Savior we have. What a difference it would make to our witness in the world if people outside didn't see people at church who pretended to have it all together and who think Christians are better people, but instead met people who were open and honest, that we don't have it all together. We know we are filthy with sin. We are those who make mistakes and get it wrong, but who proclaim, we have found in Jesus one who can wash us clean, who holds out forgiveness and fellowship with the Father. Come and meet him for yourself. That is the glorious message that John proclaims to us. And in this, John comforts his readers with the normal Christian life and what it will be like. I don't know if you spotted that. Look again to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The normal Christian life, once we've come to Jesus, is one of seeking to not sin. After all, forgiveness in Jesus is not a ticket to sin as we please, is it? The more we grow to love God, the more we will hate sin like he does. But when we do sin, which we will, we don't despair. We don't hide. No, we look to Jesus. Because in him we have an advocate with the Father. That picture is one of a friend who speaks on our behalf in court. But what does he say? Jesus doesn't say, Simon, sin isn't that bad. Simon does lots of good things. Simon is a nice guy. No, his presence there with nail marks in his hands and his feet speaks of the answer. He says, Father, that debt has been paid in my body on the cross. That sin has been atoned for. Justice has been done. Forgiveness has been won. There is nothing left to pay. So when the sunlight shows me the snot mark on my shoulder, the answer is not to go back into the darkness. It's to wash it clean. And when the God who is light shines into our lives, showing the reality of our sin, the answer is to come to Jesus and to be washed clean, having our heart purified from all unrighteousness, that we might have fellowship with the Father and with each other, for that is life and joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that in Jesus you have made a way for sinful people like us to come before you, holy God, to know you and be in relationship with you. Thank you so much for Jesus. Please help us to see ever more clearly the depth of our sin, to see the wonder of your amazing grace to us in the Lord Jesus, that we might be those who run to him and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.